My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another episode of the Inside United podcast. Our guest today is an old friend of mine, Catherine Rowland. She is librarian here at Ambassador Bible College. She is also a specialist in library science. I don't know how we can talk about that, but she does everything with library work. She's organized our library here at the home office. She does everything from organizing books to repairing books. Yes. You should see her repair books. She's also a choir director. She's quite musical. And not only is she involved with the library as far as organizing books, but she's a writer, and she is very, very skilled at that. She's written a couple of books. So welcome to Inside United.
Thank you.
We are very much in the age of video, and yet, Catherine, you are an avid reader.
Yes.
What are the strengths of the written word, of what it has over modern forms of media?
I kind of want to say that I don't fall into the camp that says, like, all reading is better than all other forms of media. But I do think that scientifically it's been proven that there are some advantages to reading, and especially to reading traditional print material over e-readers. I use an e-reader all the time, but the print has some value. One thing that I appreciate about reading is its durability. So my oldest son is 25, and there are computer games that he played when he was 10 that you can't play anymore because the technology has changed. They don't work. But I can pick up a book from 200 years ago, and I can still read it. So there's that durability. And there's also what happens in your brain is different when you read rather than when you watch something. No matter how educational a TV show is, your brain perceives it as a passive activity. So it just kind of shuts off and watches what happens, and you don't have the same retention of the information. And it doesn't de-stress you the way reading does. They've actually done like scientific studies that seem to show that reading print material, it engages your brain more actively. You remember the information better. 6 minutes of reading a day can lower your stress levels by about 68%. I'm not sure how they measure that.
I'm going home and I'm going to go read something.
But it also just, it fosters better language development. And also there's some studies that seem to suggest that especially reading fiction can make you more empathetic and more understanding of other people.
Well, I've heard some good thing now about fiction writing.
There you go.
I know that Catherine is an author and she has written some books of fiction that are created characters that are very, very deep in all these connections that they have.
And, it was so long ago.
And even I enjoy it. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, Catherine is a very, very passionate person in dealing with relationships and people. But I know that when you read a book and then you see the movie, you say, oh, the book was so much better than the movie. My wife and I, we have a couple of books that we've read or listened to on audio or Audible, I should say. And then, you know, we've seen the movie and said, oh, that's nowhere near as good as it was. And yet, you know, the book, you don't see the things that you do in the movie. Mm-hmm. And yet you feel for the people. The story is told, you know, from them and very passionately and
well, when you read, and especially when you read fiction, you're inside that person. And so I read a lot of fiction, and it's surprising that, you know, there are ways that people behave or things that they say, and I think, oh, I would never say that. But when I read about this person, I kind of understand how somebody could say that or could feel that way. And, you know, whether that way of feeling, I think, is right or wrong, at least now I maybe have a different idea of like, oh, well, maybe if I were in that position, I would act differently.
Well, Catherine, what is your earliest memory of your love of reading? But we're going to turn now to not only to reading, but we're also going to talk about writing, because anything that we read, somebody had to write.
Yes.
And Catherine has a gift of not only being a very avid reader and one who is able to pass that information on to all of us who are less readership-like than her, but she's able to write these things and write them extremely well. But what is your earliest memory of your love of reading and writing?
So I started reading when I was 3. So probably my first real memory that would be like, I love reading, was when I was in first grade, and I read very well for that age. But the the little kid books where first graders were allowed to check out from were really boring. And I remember I had this librarian who gave me permission to, after taking a little test of reading, she would let me go over to the big kid book section. And I felt so amazing. But I remember walking into our public library with my family, again, around that first grade age. And we just walked in and it seemed so huge and there were so many books. And I remember thinking that the answers to everything had to be here if you knew where to look. And I think that's one of the things that I love about reading is that you find answers to questions you didn't even know you had. When it comes to writing, I don't know that I like have an early memory of, oh, I just love writing. It's just, it's what I always did. It's my favorite way to express myself. Because I talk a lot and I talk quickly and sometimes I talk faster than I think. So I like writing because I feel that I can be so much clearer and more precise and that I know that I'm saying exactly what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. So what genre do you like the most in not only reading, but also in writing?
So I'm making a confession here that the genre I read the most, hands down, is Golden Age mystery fiction. I read a lot of detective stories. I actually went back and looked on my Goodreads account where I keep track of my reading every year. I read 101 books last year. Out of 101 books, only 24 were not mysteries. But it was an unusual year. So I read a lot of mysteries. And then I read a lot of nonfiction. But it's kind of... it's kind of scattershot. So last year I read about the last 500 years of Western civilization. I read about using big data from the internet to predict different things. I read an annotated Mother Goose. I read about the evolution of table manners. So just kind of scattershot, probably lean a little bit towards history and wanting to understand why did things happen the way they did. But yeah, that's what I read. When it comes to writing, like most writers, I have gone through phases where I wrote a lot of really terrible poetry. but mostly I write, I guess, I would think of it as sort of inspirational, either blog posts or things for articles for the church. C.S. Lewis wrote that friendship is when one person says, oh, you too? I thought I was the only one. And that's what I try to do when I write an article or write a blog post is I try to help somebody feel like, oh, I thought I was the only one that worried about that or thought about that. Or, hey, yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that before.
And so that's a very good point because I was just looking over some writing hints and everything is said, please, you know, don't just describe something, but tell the story.
Yes.
You know, and so make it something that have that person tell it and get the person very, very much involved. I'd like to write, but I do write for things that have to do with my work. And I've wanted to write more creatively. In fact, I've found this course book, The Great Courses. Here are 24 lectures on a DVD about writing fiction in a creative way. But give us some tips because there are people who fancy themselves as writers, but they aren't. But maybe some of these people can become writers and can become creative. Maybe you can tell us a few things that would be helpful.
The best tips usually are, first, if you want to write, read. And read good literature. Read things written by people who write really well. And whether it's fiction or nonfiction or, you know, classic literature, whatever, you know, find people that write really well, that engage you.
So it's not just to read for writing the specific topic, but it's just to kind of stimulate your brain.
Right. Well, and because you'll start to recognize patterns. So I never learned a lot of grammar rules when I was in school. There were some things that were lacking in my education, and one of those was like specifically grammar rules. But I can read something and I can tell you if it's right or wrong. I can't tell you why it's right or wrong. But because I've read so much, I just know, oh, that sounds wrong. I think the other thing is to get away from the idea that you should only write if you're good at it, because the only way you get better at a thing is to just do it.
Do it.
Yes. And then once you've decided you're going to write, just do it. Write a lot. Write everything. Write a diary. Write whatever you can and get yourself in that practice, because I think like many things in life, there's some part of it that's, you know, maybe you have an inborn skill. There are people that tell stories better than other people, but at the end of the day, you have to just sit and do it over and over and over and over to get better. Some of the best writing advice I've gotten was, you know, to write like you talk. For somebody who talks a lot, that is not hard. I think about it that really, especially if you're writing a short article or a letter or something, you want to write that like you're sitting there talking to that person. Mm-hmm. I think about, you know, the Apostle Paul writing letters from prison, mm-hmm. and combining that, you know, what do I need to tell them? What do they need to hear? And I think that's when your writing will really engage with people, is when you're telling them something and they think, oh, it's like they're right there in the room with me. It's like we're having this conversation, because all writing and reading is a conversation. If we read the same book, we would have different ways we thought about that material because we're having a conversation with the author in that act of reading. Mm-hmm.
And it's not only intellectual, but it's also emotional. Mm-hmm. And it's you could have several different levels,
yes.
Of understanding. Now, Catherine, you have written both fiction and you've also written nonfiction. Mm-hmm. And what do you find most interesting about that and how they overlap and how you can make it something which is very, very valuable to the audience?
I think the biggest way to me that they overlap is, well, I guess two things. One, in both nonfiction and fiction, you're telling a story somehow. If it's nonfiction, you're telling a story about something, you're explaining something, but you still have to do it in an engaging way. So in a sense, you're telling a story about it. And in fiction, of course, you're telling a made-up story. But I think also, in one sense, both of them deal with truth. If you read a book and it's a made-up story, but you can't even imagine it happening because it's so out there and weird and it, like, the characters don't act like real people, you're not going to engage and you're probably going to not read the book the rest of the way. So it has to have some element of truth. It has to have some element of reality about it. And of course, when nonfiction, you're much more focused on the truth about whatever it is. I find writing nonfiction, the hard thing for me about writing nonfiction is just that, especially because I frequently am writing about, you know, Christian matters. Mm-hmm. I want to be very, very accurate. When you're handling the word of God, you want to handle it right and truthfully. Whereas with fiction, you have a lot more leeway. But I think with fiction, for me, it's harder to write because I don't have those pictures in my head. So I have to just make stuff up without seeing it, where that makes nonfiction way easier for me because I'm already thinking in words, mm-hmm. and describing the things I see and think about in that way.
Well, I want to tell you a little bit about some books that really impressed me. Mm-hmm. They are not by famous people, you know, at all. Mm-hmm. But one of them, you know, what I connected with is somebody who was a soulmate, so to speak, at the same refugee camp that I was mm-hmm. at. I mean, I found this out on the internet many, many years later. We kind of found each other through a group that mm-hmm. tried to find the same people that were at the same refugee camps in Germany after the war. And so I kind of hit, you know, we kind of found each other and been writing, and she wrote a book about her life. And it was about one of the best books that I have ever read. You know, it was about coming over. She had a very unique story to it because mm-hmm. they were in this refugee camp, the same one that we were at mm-hmm. in Hanover, Germany. And, you know, obviously she had a mother and father, but the mm-hmm. father abandoned them, mm-hmm. you know, while she was in camp. And all her life, she'd been searching for her father.
Oh, wow.
In fact, one reason why she even found me, she thought that I might know other people who might know people mm-hmm. there. Because she says, even, which I'm sure he's dead, you know, mm-hmm. she wanted to know what happened and why, you know, they were just left behind. Mm-hmm. She caught traces of him, but she writes the book so well. Then she talks about how they emigrated. She lives in Toronto, mm-hmm. Canada. How they moved to Canada. She talks about her first marriage, a very abusive marriage, mm-hmm. but she describes it in such a tasteful way, mm-hmm. not in anger, but just what happens. And she talks about, you know, her life now, mm-hmm. and I just really complimented her so much about a life of, you know, coming over to mm-hmm. the new world and not perishing in the old world. There are things that people can write about, unique things that they have, mm-hmm. that could be very well shared.
Well, one of the time-honored pieces of writing advice is that you should write what you know. Mm. Because when you write about your life or when you write about something that you personally have experienced, I think it's interesting because it is unique. It's something that you've done, but it's also going to reach out to other people who've been, you know, you were moved by that in a way other people might not, because you know, your families were in the same refugee camp. Mm-hmm. And so you can think, oh, yeah, like I can identify with that. I understand that, you know, if I were to read that book, I would probably react to it differently because I, you know, that's so far removed from my experience, but it would still connect with both of us. And I think that's whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction, I think that's one of the things that makes it valuable. I was actually having a conversation with a friend, and she was reading a book about the periodic table of the elements that I had read several years ago. And I don't remember, you know, if you said, tell me one thing you learned from that book. The only thing that I remember is that you can dissolve gold in acid and then reconstitute it. And I had no idea.
Amazing.
but every time you read something, it shifts your way of thinking. If you read nonfiction, you know, you'll think about things a little bit differently, even if it doesn't change your life or you don't remember it in an educational sense. All of a sudden, you'll look at the world just slightly different.
Mm-hmm. That is so fascinating. Catherine, tell us one thing I'd like to you to tell us here.
Uh-oh.
I'd like to put you here on the spot. And I know that people feel inferior about their writing. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice can you give to somebody who is an aspiring writer? Because right now, I would say that in the church, we do need good writers. Mm-hmm. We need somebody who can write some really class acts, you know, that can be under mm-hmm. under 800 words, but make you feel just wow. Catherine, tell us.
I would say, first, just sit down and write. If that's what you want to do, and you think, yes, I do have some talent, I do want to write, I think about writing. Make a habit. Say at this time every day, I'm going to sit down and I'm not going to get up until I've written so many words, or I've spent so much time staring at my screen or whatever. And then I would say have somebody that you can trust as your idea bouncer, I guess. So when I write something, I always have my husband read it because he and I have very different approaches to words and different approaches to ideas. And it's helpful for me. If he says it's good, I know it's good. but have somebody that you can trust who not only will be honest, but will be gentle with you. Because when you write, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, you really are taking a little piece of your heart and you're spelling it out as much as you can and explaining it as well as you can. And then you say, well, here, everybody, look at this little piece of my heart that I'm just going to put out there. And it's very hard. And we live in a very harsh culture where people feel very free to say very mean things sometimes. So, you know, find somebody that you want somebody to give you honest feedback and not just tell you, yeah, that's really good. Yeah, that's really good. But you also want them to be nice and not mm-hmm. smash that piece of your heart. Because right. It's no good to just mm-hmm. have somebody say, well, this is terrible. Well, yeah. Okay, how can I make it better? I would say one of the things that was an advantage to me was that I did spend a couple of years in creative writing classes where they spend a lot of time with poetry. And the great thing with poetry is that every single word has to count. It has to mean exactly what you want it to mean. So sometimes if I'm struggling with a concept, I will try to write it into a poem, even if it's a terrible poem that I never show anyone, just to kind of get it down to where I think this is what I want it to be about. This is the mm-hmm. main idea. Just playing with a form like that, playing with writing it a different way, can sometimes help you to really identify what it is you're trying to say.
Or getting that theme and getting mm-hmm. right back to it and,
yes.
and then smashing it at the end, you know, really nailing it at the very
yes.
end.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine, it's just been great talking to you today. I've just really, you're just such an easy person to talk to, with just all kinds of ideas.
It's been
so
fun.
It's been fun. So we talked about reading, we talked about writing, and mm-hmm. we feel like the two are very closely allied together.
Yes.
And we have appreciated Catherine here. So thank you for joining us on Inside United today. We'd like to hear from you. You can write to us at podcast@ucg.org. podcast@ucg.org. We hope that you will tell your friends about our weekly podcast. We always talk to interesting people. So whoever we talk to is an interesting person for that week. You can find us on the homepage of ucg.org, and you can click on the podcast button, which is on top on the main menu line. And you can find us through your favorite Apple or Android podcasting app. So again, thank you for listening. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.
Thank you.